This is one of those shiurim that I wrote it up on Sunday night. So it's going to be a little bit for me to remember what's going on over here that happens, you know. But I was out all week long, and aside from that, this is the week where everybody is out all week long. So you have that expectation over here. So Parsha Reis, I apologize, I wasn't able to make copies. I just made one for myself, and I wasn't going to do that. So it worked out well. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Zayin, Tav Shenayin Hei, Ki Sisko Chicha Ben Imecha. When your brother, the son of your mother, entices you, seduces you to do avodah zara, it says, Achicha ben imecha. That's the first one. Your brother, the son of your mother. O bincha, o bitcha. Or your son, or your daughter, right? Either one of those. O eshes chekecha. Or the wife of your youth. The wife, your beloved wife, let's call it. O reacha asher kinafshecha. Or your best friend. Basesa. In private. Lemor, and he says the following. Neuchum and Abdelim Achirim. Let's go and serve other idols. Asher lo yadata tov avosecha. That you, neither you nor your father, ever knew about, that you guys never found out about. Let's go ahead and do stuff like that. So let's say that happened. So what's going on here? What exactly is this nebuah? Let's figure this out. This line from Moshe. So Rashi says the brother here refers to both sides, maternal and paternal. He says that the word achicha refers to the brother, the paternal brother, and then ben imecha refers to the maternal brother. Okay, so you got two brothers here, achicha and ben imecha. That's what Rashi says. It makes a lot of sense. The Ibn Ezra says, no, not like that. He says the mother connects the two children as if they're the same goof, while the father connects the two children in tsura. Now, he doesn't explain himself to Ibn Ezra, but he says because of that, the mother's children are closer than the father's children. Now, I would assume what that means is that you feel closer sometimes to certain people than others. The mother allows you to feel that close connection, says Ibn Ezra, because they're from the same body. The mother gave birth to both of them, so it makes sense. They have the same body. They're from that same body. Although the father adds in the DNA and allows you to look like him and puts in that extra little bit, that doesn't make you as close. It's the mother that keeps you close to each other. The father, not as much. Now, obviously, if you're a full brother with somebody, then it doesn't matter. There is no difference whatsoever. We're talking about somebody who is a half-brother from his dad and a half-brother from his mom. And that, the maternal brother relationship, seems to be stronger than the paternal brother relationship. I don't know if that's true. I've absolutely not. I don't know too many people like this. But nonetheless, that's the idea of what's going on.
What? A half-sister.
Or the half-sister. Mm-hmm. From your mother or your father?
Mother.
But you'd have to have from both. Yeah, in order to figure that out, so it's not going to work.
Yeah, but it could be father, the child would no longer live with the father. They'll live with the mother, and therefore you don't raise together.
Let's say the mother passed away. Brady Bunch style. So then you get around it and you figure it out. You'd see which one. And they'd have to have another kid after that. The Avi Ezri gives five different places where Ben Aim is used, where a brother is automatically assumed to be a maternal brother from the same mother but not from the same father. Five different examples, and explains that type of idea that it's from the same body but it's not true by the father itself. That's the idea behind it. That's from the Avi Ezri. He's a pirish on the Ibn Ezra. That's where it goes through. Now, it should be obvious that if you're a mesis, now what's a mesis? A mesis is a guy who's trying to get others to worship avodah zarah, even though he himself. So it's obvious that you wouldn't do that unless you're assured that you would hold sway over them. You're not going to go up to a random guy in the street when you know that avodah zarah is going to be punishable by death and say, like, hey, John, you want to come with me? You wouldn't do that. This is not like scalping tickets, you know, where the guy could just mess you over and just do whatever he wants. It's not like that, right? It's not like that. What this is referring to somebody who is sure he's going to get this guy to worship avodah zarah. So he takes him aside and he starts talking to him in private. Says the Tosefes Bracha, this is Baruch Epstein, the author of Torah Tumima. He says this is the reason why the maternal brother is mentioned. Since he's so close to you, he's going to be willing to talk to you about worshiping avodah zarah. Your paternal brother, he doesn't know. He has absolutely no idea what you're like. He doesn't have that close relationship. So it's because it's not that Beni Mecha is mentioned because she's the only one that you're going to talk to. It's that it's more likely that the maternal brother is going to try to entice you, while the paternal brother is not going to be that way. Now, the Tosefes Bracha adds on, or Baruch Hashem adds on, and says that he wants to view it in a natural fashion. Listen to what he says over here. We know that the baby is formed from different materials within the mother. meaning the blood of the mother, right, adds to the egg and allows for the baby to form. Now, I'm not going to give a whole anatomy session here, and to be honest with you, I don't really know the exact details of all this, but you can go check out the body works at the Museum of Science and Industry. It's vacation time, so you can have a day and just check it out and see how a baby is formed. Regardless, he says that everything's happened. He eats what she eats. He hears what she says and what she does. And there's a new billboard that's out there for pro-life people, you know, the pro-life thing, that you shouldn't kill babies even in the womb. It says, it has a picture of a little fetus, and it says, "I'm listening to your music." It's pretty good, right?
What? They got it from here.
They got it from this line right over here, yeah. But it's good. They do. They say that the fetuses are affected by the music itself, right? There's a relationship. There's a relationship that he has with his mother that the other kid, the maternal brother, will also have, and that continues after birth when they take nutrients from the milk. There's such a connection that they get from the mother that allows a seal of a natural instinct to be closer to the mother than it does to the father. And that seal, that natural instinct that goes together, is there by both brothers that are maternally related as opposed to the other ones from the father, and therefore you'll find it together. You know, it's difficult to see something like this. The only real example that I could give for you, you know, of something in Tanakh, and I'm sure there's examples of throughout Tanakh, I can't think of one that's going to be there, right there in front of you, but you have something similar with Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yitzchak and Yishmael have a very close relationship, right? It was strained at times, the Mitzachek, right, in which he Avodah Zarah Gilui Ra'ayah and Shfichas Damim, in which he tried shooting at Yitzchak. But at the end, they connected with one another. There was a connection. There was just a little bit of a connection between them. You know what? I'm going to skip off of Avram. I was going to go with Bakal for a second, and I was going to go with Shvatim as well. I have another one though, aside from Shvatim, go with, what's it called, with David HaMelech, Amnon and Tamar. Does everybody know the story of Amnon and Tamar? You gotta know your Navi. Who here went to seminary?
Rafi?
No? I'm so sorry. So, okay. Let's go through this a little bit. Amnon and Tamar. So, Amnon was a son of David HaMelech, right? Tamar was not. Avshalom was the brother of David HaMelech. And here's the deal. It's such an interesting call. So David HaMelech was together with an Eshet Yifas Toa, with a woman who is beautiful, whatever, that he saw in the middle of war. She came in with her daughter. Her daughter's name was Tamar. She was never David HaMelech's daughter. Okay? She was called David HaMelech's daughter, but she was never David HaMelech's daughter. David had a son, Amnon, who fell in love with this girl. She said, "What's the problem? Your father won't hold me back from you. We'll be able to marry each other. It's not that big of a deal." But he lusted after her and took her forcibly and then hated her afterward. Her brother was Absalom. Absalom was the younger brother of Tamar. So here's what we have. We have Tamar from the Eshet Yifas Toa woman, and Absalom being her brother from the same mother. Absalom and Amnon are brothers from the same father. And that's why I thought that would be better than the Shvatim, because we have an actual case where Absalom was brothers with Amnon from the father, sister with Tamar from the mother. So that's the closest I can get instead of two brothers. To Amnon, after he had done that and took Tamar forcibly, he was felt guilty afterward, but he still felt disgusted by her. There's a whole big minor chazal of what happened over there. And Absalom spent a couple years kissing up to Amnon and eventually killing him. Why? Because he was avenging his sister's shame. What happened with his sister? But it's his brother. They share the same father, Amnon and Absalom. We see that there's a connection between Absalom and his sister from the same mother, more so than Absalom and his brother from his father. Now again, you might think that's a brother-sister relationship, not a brother-brother. I can't think of a good brother-brother relationship in which you have a full brother and then a half-brother from the mother and a half-brother from the father, regardless. Okay, so that's there. That's the Tosefta's bracha. The concept is also brought up in the Yerushalmi Chagiga in Perek Beis. Elisha ben Avuya's mother is blamed for Elisha ben Avuya going off the derech. Everybody remembers Elisha ben Avuya? That's Acher. He's the one that went off. That's Acher. That's the reason why. He had the meanness within him because of that. We all know the Kalel, although he was the son of an Egyptian man, we all know that, was specifically said in the Torah to be the son of Shlomis Bas Dibri, because Shlomis Bas Dibri apparently made such an impression on him, that's the reason why he went off. Yerubam ben Nevat is known as his, although we know he's ben Nevat, the mother's name is mentioned, Macha, who worshipped idols, to show you what happened to Yerubam ben Nevat, that he went off as well. When the mother is mentioned, for good or for bad, that means what the Torah is trying to stress is, what Tanakh is trying to stress is, that the mother has that connection to bring up something within them. And that's how the Tosefta's Bracha is saying that two children from the same mother will share that relationship. It'll be the same by them. It's going to be around them. Now, the obvious answer, and it's the one that everybody knows, in Kiddushin Peyam Adayis, it mentions this pasuk over here, and it says, the maternal brother has nothing to gain by you going down. But the paternal brother has a lot to gain by you going down. Why? A maternal brother does not inherit your stuff. A paternal brother does. Meaning, your brother from your mother, sharing the same mother, will never inherit you, ever, unless somehow he can connect to your father. It'll never happen, your maternal brother. But your paternal brother from your same father will inherit all your stuff if you die. So it makes sense. A paternal brother that comes up to you and says, hey, worship Avodah Zarah. He's doing it so that you die and he ends up inheriting you. But a maternal brother would never do that. A maternal brother wouldn't do that because you wouldn't think. So you'd think you could listen to your Achicha Ben Imecha. Maybe you could listen to him when he says, let's worship Avodah Zarah, because he's not out to get you. He doesn't want you to die, right? Says the Gemara, even then, you shouldn't listen to him. Even then, you cannot listen to such a person. Now, the Rishonim, telling you, I saw it everywhere. The Chizkuni, the Rush, the Radak, the Dazdekin, the Balitosis, the Rokeach, and the Paneach Raza all gave basic variations of that answer. It was all based on the Gemara Kedushin. What's up there?
Yeah, I was going to say two things. One, that concept doesn't, I mean, it suddenly leads you astray. It's usher and it's behavior, right? I mean, they're not allowed to do that.
Yes, for sure.
So I don't understand how they base that. Like, the guy's being punished right now.
It's not that. He doesn't think he's going to get caught. He does it in such a way, in private, just you two together, so they don't know, whatever. And then he sets you up that when you do that Avodah Zarah, they catch you. And then he says, oh, but my brother convinced me to do it. We don't know that. Exactly. But you know what I'm saying? Look, he's going to try. You'd think that would happen. Either way, Rav Hirsch says, we're stressing family relationships because we know what happens when it comes to family. People are willing to be over on anything when it comes to family. You know how many times I've gotten the text message or the phone call just says, like, I'm allowed to do anything because of Darkei Shalom, right? I'm allowed to do absolutely anything. Like, I can basically crash a plane for Darkei Shalom, as long as there's Darkei Shalom involved. The answer is obviously not, but people would do something forbidden when it comes to family things in order to help out their family and go whatever for their close relatives, and we are therefore warned, don't get involved. I don't care that it's your close relatives. Do not be involved by these types of things. The Evan Ezel, brought in the Mayan Shel Torah, warned people to beware for their children. This is the idea of Achicha Ben Imecha. It's not just about your brother, etc. It's about everybody. In his time, this is around the turn of the century in Yerushalayim, there were many people who opened free schools, said the kids could go to school, and they said, you're going to get your traditional Jewish learning and everything, and we're going to add on secular learning along with it. Now, it sounded like a great idea, especially to us. We've all gone through secular learning throughout our lives. It hasn't just been learning Torah. So they heard such things. Oh, there's secular learning with it? That can't be bad, right? They're going to learn math. They're going to learn a little bit of English, right? Or probably not English, probably whatever language they were in at the time. And a little bit extra, it's not a problem. They sent to those parochial schools, those types of schools, in order to get their kids that type of education. It was free. It was unlike every other school that they had. It was absolutely free. The problem was that as enamored as they were, there were a lot of teachers that were being fired and then hired a year into the school. Meaning you're already in the school, you're enrolled for a year or whatever it was, or even halfway through the year, and they fired the Rebbe in the morning, and they hired their own reformed version of a Rebbe. And that rabbi, you know how Reb Moshe, whenever he talks about reform rabbis, you know he writes rabbi? It's always like Reish, Ayin, Aleph, Beis, Ayin, Yud. Like, that's a rabbi. Yeah, it's awesome. You got to love Reb Moshe. So Reb Moshe, the idea behind the rabbi, that rabbi would be hired and he'd come in and he'd have all these agendas and all the things that he wants to get out and all these kids who were going to these schools. The parents had no idea, and the teachers would say to them, don't tell your parents this, but everything you do is stupid and you shouldn't really daven and you shouldn't really learn, etc. And it was terrible. And because of that, people didn't realize that we lost tons of Gedolei Yisrael because of it. Tons of kids that ended up becoming reformed or whatever it is because they didn't realize what had happened. They didn't realize that these schools were not being made in the same way. So Eben Ezra was saying, you have to beware that people that are close to you, people that you trust, that you think are good people, you got to be so careful when you put them in that school. Check out your kid's Rebbe beforehand to find out who that guy is. If you don't check him out beforehand, then it's your own fault. You sent your kid to a school where this could happen. That's the idea behind it. That was the idea of what he was wanted to say from that. Now, on that note, yeah, there.
What's the point of giving all these examples? Like, just say, don't do it, what is up? Go through, like, the Navi, go through, like, in the beginning, saying about how terrible...
Yeah, the simple idea. The Pashup Shad is going to be the Pashup Shad is that these are the ways that people get enticed, and we're just saying these are the normal ways. Your brother comes up to you, your daughter comes up to you, somebody that you're so close with, that's the normal way of happening. But we're going to see that there's going to be a remez over here from the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. It's going to take up most of our shir, and that's the Orach Chaim HaKadosh is going to explain everything. So let's hold off on that for 1 second. On that note, the Rabbeinu Bachaya says there are two types of emuna. One is Mitzara Kabbalah. Mitzara Kabbalah means your parents taught you, your Rebbeim taught you, your teachers throughout your life. You had an older brother that just, should you believe in God? Yeah, you should believe in God. All right, Dad. And that's that. That's your Emuna Mitzara Kabbalah. Your dad taught it to you, and that's it. What's there to talk about? It's like Emuna Pshuta, the Pashut Emuna that a person has. The second side is Osmich from Chachma and Yediyah. You worked on it. You thought to yourself, what does this mean? What do I do over here? You figured it out. See, the former is a true emuna, but it's not showing. And the reason why is because it's not thought through. It's like a blind man being held by a blind man being held by a person who can see. The blind man's going to get to where he needs to go, but he has no idea how he got there, and he has no idea which way he took. If somebody would ask the blind man, how do you get to that garden? How do you get up there? Well, he'd say, I don't know. I just followed that guy, and everything worked out well for me. It works. It's just not showing. The best way is to be able to work on it yourself. That way, if somebody comes up to you and brings up something that you've never heard of, a claim or a crazy little line you never would have thought of before, now you can hold your own. When the guy comes up to you and says, well, don't you believe in Yashka? You could be like, well, my dad didn't. Instead of saying that, you say, no, he was a fool. I can't run for president anymore. Anyway, regardless, you know that that's going to be, you know that's there. And that's the pshat in this pasuk. It says, at the end of the pasuk, it says, asher lo yadata, that you didn't know, ata v'avosecha, you and everything that you worked on, v'avosecha, and your emuna that you got from your fathers. There is the pashat emuna, says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, from your fathers, and then ata, what you worked on and that you did yourself. Those two levels are not there. It's always better, says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, to not only have Avosecha's emuna, but your own emuna. Work on your own so that you get everything on your own. That's the level of Dama Shatosh Lapikoros. And on that level, the Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Ki Yisischa Achicha Ben Imecha O. Okay, those words, Ki Yisischa Achicha Ben Imecha O, is the gematria of 689, which is the same gematria, says the Rabbeinu Ephraim, as Zehu Yeshu Hanotri. Zehu Yeshu Anotri. And it's referring to, obviously, Yashka, right? If you want, by the way, Notri is spelled over there without the Vav, but you could just do Zeh Yeshu Anotri with the Vav inside there. I'm good with both. Either way, regardless, it's 689 altogether. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, here we have an answer for the fools who ask us why we don't believe in their Mashiach, who claimed that he was the son of a Jewish mother, but not of a Jewish father, Ki Sischa Achicha, your brother who was a Jew, Ben Imecha, who claimed that he was the son of your mother, but not from your father. That's the remnant over here. He's the one that convinced us to do Avodah Zarah, and we have to say to him, no, we're not going to listen to you, and we're not going to follow through. That's Rabbeinu Ephraim. Shari Aram quotes in Surah Maor that it refers to Pesel Micha. That's another issue for another time, and since none of us have gone to seminary, none of us really know what Pesel Micha is, except for me. You can go onto my shir list, and go on to Shoftim, and go toward the very, very end, and then you can go here. You probably heard it, Dave, somewhat, a little bit, but Pesel Micha is right over there. Or you could, yeah, what is it? It's a Parsha in Devarim. It also happens to be a part of Navi, but as a side note. Now let's get to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Here we get to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. This is really an awesome piece from the Orach Chaim. He says the entire pasuk is a remnant to the way that the Yetzer Hara gets you. Four levels that the Yetzer Hara gets you, and this is what ends up being. Sanhedrin Sadi Alpha Mabez, we say LaPesach Chatas Roveitz, a dollar for anybody who knows where that pasuk comes from. LaPesach Chatas Roveitz. It's a big one. By the door, sin lies in wait. Oh, man. y'all are gonna slap yourselves. No, it's like so easy. It's an easy one. No, no. It's by Cain. When Cain, right before Cain killed Abel, he says, "Vapatzachatz rov." It says, "Akadosh Baruch Hu to Cain, right? Don't kill him. Don't get involved, because vapatzachatz rov is once you get out, right? Once you let out, the sin is sitting there waiting at the door." Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Hold on. I had a dollar. So either way, regardless, the Satan is there waiting for him from the first day that we enter in this world, trying and convincing you to do evil. That's what happens. The Yetzer grows within that person. It's there from day one. It grows within the person. It's always there, making you aware of your physicality, your mental deficiencies, giving him yeesh, meaning to give up on everything, and your desire for more and more and more, to do more and more and more tumah. That's what the Yetzer is there for. He stands at the beginning and goes through. Chaim Kanievsky was once asked, where's the Yetzer Hara for a baby? What's the Yetzer Hara for a baby? Like, it's there at the beginning, right? So when it comes out, what Yetzer Hara does he have? What Yetzer Hara? So Chaim answered in two ways. He said, number one, a baby, he cries and causes bittul Torah. So sometimes the Yetzer Hara makes him cry at a time when his father or mother are trying to learn. Probably the father. Come on. And when he's trying to learn, and that causes bittul Torah, and that's from the Yetzer Hara of the baby. The Yetzer Hara of the baby. So all you have to do, okay, in order for your kid not to cry, is never learn. And then you won't have to worry. Yetzer Hara is not going to be there for you. That's number one. The second thing is, because this is awesome, says Or HaChaim, it's a medrash. A medrash says that the Yetzer Hara tells the baby that that guy who's holding you wants to kill you. And that's why it cries when it sees a random person that it doesn't recognize. So when you pick up a baby and it starts crying, it's because the Yetzer Hara told it that guy wants to kill you. And that's why it starts crying. Pretty good, right? I love Rav Chaim. Anyway, you know what I would have done if somebody would ask me that question? I'd be like, get away from me. That's what I would have said. But nonetheless, Rav Chaim had an answer, and it's based on a method. That's the first level. The first level is the Yetzer Hara that grows within you. Second level, through the means of an Avera, the Mishnah and Avos, and Parak Dalet Mishnah Beis says, Avera goreret Avera. One Avera leads to the next. What happens is that every Avera a person does creates a kateger, an accuser in Shemayim, an angel that's destructive, right? And that accuser attaches itself to the sinner, makes him do more and more evil, which is not impossible, very difficult to overcome. You can overcome it. It's just difficult because it's an Avera that's Gorer, another Avera that's Gorer, another Avera, and that's the problem. At that point, you're able to do tshuva, but it's difficult because you're already in the throes, T-H-R-O-E-S. Of sin, and it's very difficult to get yourself out of that. You already think to yourself, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? That's the level where you're pulling yourself out. That's the idea behind it. Number three, the level of where you get a nefesh detuma within yourself. You know on Shabbos, everybody gets a nefesh yisera. Neshama yisera is how you're able to eat so much, right? You get a little nefesh yisera. You also have the possibility of getting a nefesh detuma. That nefesh duma comes along when you're so ensconced in chait. That's what happens over vacation, I actually read. So you're so in there. You have so much sin within you, right? You have so much within you, you can't let it, you just can't do anything. It's already a part of you. It's like that a leech that leeches onto you and you can't get rid of it whatsoever. It's very difficult to do tshuva at that point, but at least you still have your soul. This is just a leech on the outside. You could still tear it off. It just hurts a lot and you're going to bleed and it's going to hurt. But regardless, you know what happened today? One of my kids got stung by a bee. Okay, it wasn't a bumblebee, you know, that died immediately afterward. No. It was one of those. It wasn't a yellow jacket either. It was one of the other bees. I forgot what it's called. But this is what happened. So he had a bee sting on the earlobe right there. Okay? So I saw it. He, like, yelled for me. He's like, Daddy. So I ran over and I flicked the bee off. And the stinger was still stuck in. I flicked it off in such a way that it left the actual stinger inside there. And then I killed the bee. So what did I have to do? I pulled out the stinger. Stingers are curved in. They're curved in. It's like a little hook. What?
It was a bee.
It was a bee. Yeah. It was a bee.
A wasp.
It was not a wasp. No, it was a bee. It was a bee. I forgot what kind of a bee it was. It wasn't a bumblebee because it didn't die immediately. I don't remember what it was. I honestly don't remember. But anyway, regardless, the hook was like this. The hook was like that. So I had to pull it out. I'm like looking at him. He's like crying. And I'm just like, calm down. So I'll take this out. And you're pulling it out. And you can't pull it straight out. Because it's going to tear straight through. You have to pull it like out like that and then tear it around the other way.
There's a little sack in there.
Yeah, there's a sack.
And push the oxygen.
You don't, well, yeah, if you squeeze it, then it's going to go in. Exactly. So I had to pull it out, like, just so, right? And I pulled it out, and then I saw it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's the coolest thing ever. And then I realized my kid's earlobe was blowing out. It's good, though. It's much better in the earlobe because there's no blood vessels that are right down there, so it's not going to get in the bloodstream or anything like that. He just took a little Benadryl, and he was perfectly fine. And then I took out all my aggression on the bee, and it was a good time. So I turned it into a big thing of pulp. Regardless, right, that's what it's like. That's a nephesh tetumah that adds on. It's difficult to get off, but you can get it off. You can get it off a little bit. You just hope that it goes on the earlobe. The fourth and lowest level is where you literally have turned yourself into evil. The level of para. You can't make a good decision anymore. You want the Jews to leave. You know they have to leave. You know what you're doing is stupid. But you can't stop yourself because you are so filled with it. Your entire essence, so to speak, is filled with tumor.
They don't have Yetzer Hara.
What?
They don't have Yetzer Hara.
Who?
Go ahead.
Yeah, they still do. Yeah, not the same type. No, still do. Even an animal has a Yetzer Hara. I know that's strange, but it's a Gemara in Bava Kamma. Even an ox has a Yetzer Hara. There's still a Yetzer Hara by that. Right? It's a Gemara in Bava Kamma. I believe it's Chav Beis Amud Aleph. But even animals have a Yetzer Hara. There's something there. It might not be the same type. Regardless, this level causes you to deny God's existence. That's where a person becomes an atheist, or if he becomes an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. The only way for a person to become an atheist or an Ovid of Avodah Zarah is if he brings himself to level 4. And he's so filled with tumah that his entire soul is affected. It's not just on the outside. It's literally on the inside of him, and he can't get there. Now, here's the words. Achicha ben imecha. That level is the evil that you get immediately when you come into the world. Your brother, Cain, was introduced to this ben imecha, and was brought into the world by Chava, the son of your mother. In other words, from your mother itself. That evil was brought into the world, causing Ra to mix in with Tov from that point, causing us difficulty in differentiating between the two. That's the first part of the pasuk. The second is your son or daughter. Your son or daughter is a sin that you did, you caused. It's an Avera Goreres Avera. It's your child, so to speak. The next Avera that caused comes from what you did. That's the second level type of Avera that we have, and that's the son or daughter. The accuser could be weak, or it could be strong. That's the idea of the daughter or the son. It could be weak or strong in order to come about. The third is a nephesh that walks together with you as if it's your wife. As if it's your wife. The same way that you're connected with your wife, but it's not exactly like you, right? It's on the outside. That's the idea of what it means by wife. I don't want to compare wives to leeches ever again. So we're just going to assume that that meant in a good way, right? Just it means something that is attached to you and connected on the outside. The fourth is when your own soul is affected. And that's when it says, Re'acha kenapshecha. A friend that's so close, it's like you yourself. And that's the fourth level of the Yitzhar. It says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, where it's mamish like you, and you can't get it out of your head. It's literally within you now. It's not just attached to you. It's not on the outside. It's not something that you caused. It's within you. That's the fourth level, and that's the idea behind it. Where Victor Miller says, that's the idea behind any type of the suffering. He tries to get you not in things that you don't know about. He tries to get in things that you know about. Meaning, if I would try to convince you to do something which you already know is evil, then obviously you're not going to do it. Tries to get you in things that you don't know about. Asher lo yadata, ata v'avosecha. That way the Satan's going to get you and he's going to say, look, this is probably perfectly fine. I would assume that this is even a mitzvah to do. Why shouldn't it be a mitzvah? That's the idea that the Yitzhar is going to put inside your head, that this becomes a mitzvah. It becomes something that's mutter and something like that. Now, we're going to end with this. I'm going to spend about 5 minutes on this. In Kedushin Peyim Abayis, there is another drusha that's learned from this pasuk. The first drusha is what we've been going into about being a mesis and your brother versus your paternal brother versus your maternal brother and everything like that. Rabbi Yochanan says this is the remez to yichud in the Torah. That a child is only allowed to be misyachid with his mother. But all other arayas you can't be misyachid with. Now, the Torah Tumim immediately says that's lavdavka. Lavdavka. Because certainly a person is allowed to be together with his daughter and with his wife even when she's in nida. Those are perfectly fine. The others, I don't know. Normally, sisters that aren't married are usually okay. Yichud is a difficult concept, especially if it's deal raisa. And according to this pshat in Kedushan Peyam Abayis, yichud is deal raisa. It's learned from this pasuk. Because it's learned straight out from a pasuk and yichud is there, we're dealing with something you cannot be alone with a woman, even if she's your relative, the only exceptions are mother, daughter, and really your what's the other one? Wife, who's in nida. Sisters are also matured. Again, this is not halacha here. I'm not going to go into it. There are issues with sisters, depending on the age, depending on whatever it is. But obviously, we're makel. Obviously, everybody's makel. Whether we should be makel, that's another story. I remember asking the rabbi first once. Somebody had come up to me and he said, "What do I do about my sister who wants to hug me when I come home from yeshiva?" So I said, "Hug her." So he said, "But isn't it usher?" I'm like, "You know what? Let me look it up just in case." And I looked it up in the Shulchan Aruch, and I was shocked by what I found. So I called the rabbi first, and I said, "Rabbi first, you're allowed to hug your sister, right?" And he's like, "No." I'm just like, "No, seriously." He's like, I don't joke, ever. Again, I'm not posking for anybody. I have absolutely no idea. This is a subject that I'm staying far away from, and I have no sisters, so I'm very happy with it. So I'm perfectly okay with it. It is a difficult subject to get involved with. The Torah Tumima goes in and says there are exceptions to the rule, but what exactly are those exceptions? The bit of a kasha. Regardless, that's the second thing. Where is it hinted from? The Baal HaTurim says the Rosh Yetevis, Ki Yisisko. The Rosh Yetevis of Ki Yisisko is a Chaf and a Yud, which is 30, which is the Gematria of B'Yichud. That's one of the greatest Gematrias you'll ever hear from the tour in your life. It's unbelievable. I don't even know. Like, first of all, it's not even Yichud, it's B'Yichud. Second of all, right, it also deals with the Rosh Yetevis of Ki Yisisko, which is, anyway, you could have just done the first and last letter of Yisisko, it would have been Yud and Chaf, and it would have been the exact same thing. We got unbelievable Gematria from just a Gematria from the Baal HaTurim. You never get to see those things on the tour. But the Paris Yosef says that we learn from here the concept of Siyogim, a Siyog. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Abu Chatzera, in his sefer, the Levona Zaka, Levona Zaka says, normally we don't learn two things from one pasuk. Normally we don't do that. We learn one thing. The Baba Sali's grandfather, correct? Who he was named from, right? The Baba Sali's Rabbi Yisrael Abu Chatzera, this is Rabbi Yaakov, his grandfather. So normally you don't learn two things from one pasuk, unless there's a problem. Here's the problem. The problem is that in the pshat in the pasuk, that we're talking about your brother, your maternal brother, all you have to say is Ben Imecha, the son of your mother. You didn't have to say anything else. Why say Achicha? Why mention your brother? Must be there are two drushes to learn from over here. One drush is in pshat, and the pshat is that your brother, the son of your mother, might seduce you to do avodah zarah. And in drush, and in medrash, the remez is yichud. You're not allowed to have yichud. The only person you're allowed to have yichud with is your mother. And that's what we learn from this pasuk. It's a medrash that comes from, it says Rabbi Yaakov, because of that extra word from over there. It could be this even answers up the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam, right? There's machlokis between them, whether Mesis can be more than one guy. A Mesis, the seducer, you know, the one who convinces them to do Avodah Zarah, can it happen if one guy convinces two people to do Avodah Zarah? Is that a Mesis or not? Is that considered more like an irani dachas, but not exactly an irani dachas? Is the line of Mesis used for that guy? The Sefer HaChinuch says that the din of Mesis only applies to one person. One guy convincing one other guy. While the Rambam says it could apply to anybody. Up until halfway through the city, that's a Mesis. Since we learn the halachos of Yichud here, what does that indicate? If you're talking about Yichud, you're only talking about two people. One-on-one. So it sounds like the Sefer HaChinuch, that Mesis is only referring to one. I'm going to stop with one story from the Chafetz Chaim. Again, I'm not going to get into this. Everybody has to be careful when it comes to this, especially when there's so many issues that come into it. I remember my Rebbe, Rabbi Hartman in Beis, once telling me that you would have no issues with all these rabbis that are caught with their congregants or these Kabbalists and these issues and everything like that, these therapists, etc. You would never have any problems if you followed the halachos of Yichud. You never have any issues. It would be fine. If you hold of Yichud, what are you going to do? You're in the middle of the street with the person. You're not going to do something crazy in the middle of the street, and if so, then you got more problems. That's the idea. Stay away from it. Not a therapist, that's another question, or whatever it is, but regardless, you stay away from that, you'll never have any issues. The Chafetz Chaim was once in Liadi. I think that's the name of the town. I couldn't. Lamed Yud Aleph Dalad Yud. Okay, he was in Liadi. And he was searching for a wagon to bring him back to Rabin. Okay, the only other story that can contain wagons, aside from Chassidish stories, is the Chafetz Chaim stories. Okay, it's only the two stories you can have wagons inside there. Chassidish and Chafetz Chaim, period. Either way, he was looking for a wagon to bring him back to Rabin. There was one, but a lady was in there, and the lady was going back to Rabin. And the Chafetz Chaim said, I've never traveled in a wagon with a woman before. I'm not going to travel with a woman this time either. So he wasn't going to go with. Right? Now, that's not the crazy part of the story. That obviously is part of the Chafetz Chaim's, you know, his thing. So he never wanted to travel with it. But then he thought, if I don't go, then that wagon driver is going to have yichud with that lady on one of these roads. And even though that's mutter, if it's for your business, you are allowed to do it, and there are hatirim for it, and whatever it is, he didn't want himself to be the reason why that happened. So he went into the wagon, and he went inside there. So he discussed it first with the rabbi of the town. The rabbi of the town was Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu of Liadi. And in the end, he decided to travel in the wagon together with that woman in order to go to save them from the halachas of yichud. Crazy little thing, right? You never even think of this. Never even think of this. I still remember one of them being telling me that he was on a bus once going to Har Nof, and it was only him and one woman, and he immediately got off.
Wait,
he went there.
There's a driver.
Why?
Because the driver.
That's exactly what I said. I said, but what about the driver? He's like, that wasn't my responsibility. But afterward I said, but there's two men and one lady. So what's the issue? Didn't answer that question. I still don't have an answer. If anybody wants to ask, it's for emotional victims. You can ask them. Yeah, but it's a kasha on a maisa, and it's not even a chasidish maisa because there's no wagon in here. It's a bus. It's totally different. I still remember him saying it. Yeah, because of the windows. The windows are. It's going to stop. You know it's going to open. Anybody can come on. There shouldn't be any real issue. Maybe it's just a chumrah this person had more than anything else. I don't know. I don't know. What?
Maybe it wasn't one of the separate buses.
It for sure wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't a Haredi bus. All right, we'll stop with that, everybody. What's up?